Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Uni Center of Light, located here in Bowie, Maryland. My name is Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service again today. We always like to invite you to the Zoom Fellowship. Let you know there is actually a Zoom Fellowship service every Sunday morning at 10:30. And in the Zoom Fellowship, you can hear this message, meditation, hear music, and also have discussion about the message. So if you'd like to be in community, Zoom community, with, you know, in listening to this message, please join us in Zoom. And you can get the link to it in your e-newsletter or your weekly update. If you're not receiving any of those, you can go to unitycenteroflight.org, where you can sign up to be to get the e-newsletter and the weekly update. And in addition, we always like to thank you for all the wonderful donations you send to Unity Center of Light so we can keep doing what we're doing. So we appreciate your donations. And if you're new to this channel and want to know how to donate, if you're inspired by this message, just look down below if you're on YouTube and click the Show More button and you'll see all the wonderful ways you can give.
And we are also in person.
Yes.
Yes, we're right. In person this Sunday, so we hope that you all come out and join us at the Ken Hill Building.
Yeah, and if you're, you know, seeing this late and it's, you know, past the time that we actually have in-person service, we do in-person service at least once a month, normally on the first Sunday, unless a holiday falls around that time. So again, with the e-newsletter and the weekly update, you can keep up with when we are actually having in-person service, which is once every month. The next one right now that we know is going to be November the 3rd. And again, you know, if you're in the area and would like to come by, we would love to see you. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thanks. So good morning and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, October the 8th. The key word is together, and the affirmation is the presence of God unites us as we work, play, and pray together. Joining with others to work makes the job easier. Joining together for fun multiplies the enjoyment. The camaraderie, cooperation, and support of togetherness give me a boost and brighten my mood. The indwelling Christ presence is alive in all people everywhere. When I work, play, or pray with others, something greater than the sum of our individual efforts and insights results. The divine love that binds us multiplies as we recognize it in one another and give it a fuller expression in ourselves. Work becomes more productive, play more enjoyable, and prayer more fulfilling. Together, we produce more good work and feel more joy and happiness than any of us could accomplish on our own. The scripture reading is taken from Matthew 18:20, and it reads, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Amen. Now we will have the Sunday lesson with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So the message for today is aligning our personal self with our elemental divinity, right? And we're gonna get, you know, last week we the talk was let's start back from the beginning, because we've been moving along, you know, understanding deeper and deeper spiritual ideas, but we wanna come sort of back to the beginning to really reinforce these ideas. Now, today's message is gonna be a little bit dense because we're gonna do some interpretation of the two stories, you know, the two creation stories in Genesis and how they apply to our personal lives. The first creation story is the 6 days of creation. Usually when you think about the creation story, that's what most people think about it as 6 days of creation and God rested on the seventh day. Okay, so let's look at, and those, that's listed in Genesis. The first creation story is listed in Genesis 1 through 31. And it includes a creation of man as described in Genesis 1:22 and 1:27. And throughout this, I tried to, you know, make it more up to date and not keep using the, you know, the word man, but in some of it, it makes it clumsy if you don't actually use it as it was originally described, both in Scripture and in Charles Fillmore's interpretations. So let's look at Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Okay? So verse 27 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness.'" And in verse 27, it says, "So God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Now, in the second creation story, Genesis 2, 7, we read, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." All right? So these two creation stories have often created confusion. So we're going to strive to understand the nature and purpose of each creation story, okay, and how it applies to our lives. Now, in The Mysteries of Genesis by Charles Fillmore, he explains the following about the first creation story. He said, "In the six mental steps of mind movement called days, Elohim God created the spiritual universe and spiritual man. God then rests. God has created the ideas or patterns of the formed universe that is to follow." Okay? So here Fillmore is explaining that the first account of the creation story describes that what is known as the 6 days of creation is the six mental steps or six movements in the mind of God. It is the formation of a spiritual pattern from which the manifest world will eventually take physical shape. Okay? And that's usually how metaphysics works, first in mind and then into physical manifestation. So nothing physical is manifesting in the first creation story. Now, also, please keep in mind that we're not discussing this in the same mindset as a religionist who would use the creation story to argue with Darwin's creation theory. I think the point that is missed in that argument is that Darwin was explaining the formation of a physical world, while Genesis is explaining the formation of the spiritual and metaphysical world. Okay, so what we're doing in this lesson is investigating the two creation stories from a spiritual, metaphysical perspective to try to discover more about the spiritual and mental aspects of ourselves. So with that in mind, let me repeat again. Nothing physical is manifesting in the first creation story. And where it is recorded that God said, "Let us make humankind in our image and according to our likeness," this is speaking about the metaphysical pattern for spiritual manifestation, not physical manifestation. Okay? It's explaining the metaphysical pattern of each one of us as we exist in God's mind. Let me say it again. In that first story, it's explaining the metaphysical pattern of each one of us as we exist in God's mind. So this is also the metaphysical pattern that Jesus referred to in Matthew 5:8 when he said, "You therefore must be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect." See, Jesus is charging us with the responsibility of aligning our personal self with our spiritual self. "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Okay? So that which is perfect about us already, always has been, is our spiritual self. So when Jesus is saying, you need to align your personal self with your spiritual self. Or we might say, we're being charged with aligning our personal self with our original or elemental self, meaning the original or elemental spiritual pattern from which we are created. Okay? And again, you know, we kind of talk about this in one way or another every week, but we're trying to, you know, actually look at it from all different perspectives, and now from the perspective of understanding how it's described in Scripture. So our first quest is to grasp this idea we're always talking about, that there is a divine pattern that exists as the reality of our true self, and then it is our divine commission to strive to align our personal self with that original reality. And this is what is known as atonement, meaning becoming at one or in alignment with God. Not God as a separate entity, rather as God, the true nature of our divine reality. Again, Jesus expressed this in John 10:30 as I and the Father are one, where Jesus is not declaring that he and God are the same being or person. Jesus is saying that they are of the same essence, the same power, the same nature, and have the same intentions of doing good. So in an effort to understand this idea of oneness, Jesus is referring to, and how it comes about, let's read Paul's explanation in 1 Corinthians 15:44. Now, when we first read this, it may not make a whole lot of sense, but we're going to keep coming back to it and, you know, explaining it more. So this is what Paul says. He says, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. I think every one of us who've been listening to Unity Thought for a while understand that. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, but the last man, Adam, that being Christ, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spirit is not first. This is where it can be confusing. How the spirit is not first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is from heaven. Okay. Now, you may remember that we have spoken about this before, the idea of the first Adam and the last Adam. Okay, that concept where Jesus is known as the second or last Adam. And as Paul explained, Jesus was born a natural man, but evolved in his lifetime to become a life-giving spirit. Okay, so, you know, in our consciousness, we think of ourselves as being born naturally, right? And what we're all striving to do right now as truth seekers, as I keep calling us, is we're striving to understand the life-giving spirit within us. So whereas the first Adam eventually led us away from our divinity, okay, you know what I'm saying? You know, as we came into this natural expression, not being aware of our spiritual essence, we kind of were led away from our divinity. But the last Adam, Jesus, is our way shower, which we know, leading us back to our divine self. So to understand the metaphysical meaning of Adam in our lives, we're going to refer to the revealing word. And again, it might be a little bit challenging, but we're going to keep working with it. So Adam represents the first movement of mind in its contact with life and substance. You actually see that in Genesis, you know, the eating of the apple. Okay. So, but it's talking about us. Adam represents the first movement of mind in its contact with life and substance. Adam, and that's, remember, this is Adam in us. So Adam was created from the dust of the ground. The word dust represents divine substance. So when the spiritual self, I am, enters into this substance, dust, and makes use of the God ideas inherent within us, it brings forth the ideal body in its elemental perfection. Adam was first perfect as an idea, an elemental divinity. And we can say that each one of us was first perfect as an idea, an elemental divinity. And then we came into physical manifestation. And that is where we got led away from understanding our divinity. So again, so to personalize this, let me rephrase. You were first perfect as an idea, an elemental divinity. You were, I was, we are. We were first perfect as an idea and elemental divinity. Elemental divinity is, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. Okay? So we were made in the image and likeness of this God idea. Meaning, being divine is elemental or basic to our nature. And from a practical perspective, meaning, how do I apply this in my everyday life experience? Knowing this, what is it going to do to help me in my life? You know, knowing this, I mean, really knowing this is the first mental step or mind foundation for really experiencing the effects of prayer, meditation, and affirmation in our lives. In other words, when I come to know, really know, that my elemental reality is divine, the basic original self of me is divine, then when I practice prayer, meditation, affirmation, it has a whole different meaning, okay? Otherwise, if we don't really have that in-depth understanding of our own innate divinity, what we're doing when we pray, a lot of times, is just wishful or hopeful thinking, all right? So if we look at the definition of Adam, it explains, when the spiritual self, I am, enters into this substance, dust, and makes use of the God ideas inherent within it, or within you, you become able to bring forth the ideal body in its elemental perfection. The physical body we have right now was originally formed from dust, meaning it was formed from divine substance. Okay, so divine substance being that which underlies all manifestation and is the spiritual essence, the living energy out of which everything is made. So when you go into prayer and in meditation or enter into the silence, you're entering into divine substance, okay? That which underlies all manifestation and is a spiritual essence, the living energy out of which everything is made. And let me say it again. When you enter into prayer or meditation or just enter into the silence, just being still, you're entering into the realm of divine substance. That which underlies all manifestation and is a spiritual essence, the living energy out of which everything is made. So the fact that your spiritual self, your I am or Jehovah God self is within you means that you have the potential to be perfect. Or to be more practical, we have the potential to produce perfect ideas. Okay? Now, that might sound like a tall order. I know, you know, me, you know, producing perfect ideas. But just think about it. We have already been doing this. We have already been receiving and using perfect divine ideas in our life and affairs. You know, the stuff that comes to us and we do it and it just works out in wonderful ways, all right? So we've already been dealing with and working with perfect divine ideas in our lives. And the more we grasp the fact that we have already been doing it, the more purposeful we become and really listening in our practice of prayer and being silent, okay? When you know, you say, I have been doing this. And when you really get clear about it, then when you go into prayer and meditation, you will really listen because you will know that your perfect in you will give you the perfect divine idea. Now, another way for learning how to more effectively use the perfect God idea that are hurt within us is when we learn how to use the phrase, I am, in its right use, okay? When we say things like, you know, I am, and we use something negative behind it, that's not using our I am in its right use. For example, if we look at the affirmation, I am a creation of the Holy Spirit, made in the same image and likeness. And if you keep doing that, you'll eventually reveal the truth about yourself to yourself, okay? If you keep realizing that I'm a perfect creation of the Holy Spirit, made in the same image and likeness, okay? Keep that in your mind. And the one we did a couple of weeks ago, holy, 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 my Lord God is almighty. All of these, you want to make sure you're using these I am statements, the things you refer to yourself as in the right way. And, you know, this can happen. In other words, you can begin to get that realization whether or not you believe what you are affirming. Okay? However, whenever we use I am in a negative or a limiting affirmation, we block ourselves from the truth about ourselves, okay? Thus leaving us prone to the trials and tribulations of this world. So to continue with the definition of the from the revealing word, it explains the Adam man, what we're calling the Adam self, as distinguished from the Christ self, okay, is the unregenerated self sense of our true self. So we could change the Adam self to the personal self, or we could even change it to the ego self, okay? And that aspect of us is the unregenerated sense of our true self, okay? This is the self that has fallen away from its spirituality. And again, we talk about that, you know, a lot each week, about how we have fallen away from understanding the truth of our being. So even in our practice, we want to get more in touch with the fact of the truth of who we really are. And see, this is indicative of the mental, emotional mindset we can fall into when life hits us with unexpected challenges. You know, you say, well, you know, I try to stay positive. I use my affirmations. I pray. And then life hits us with an unexpected challenge. And life will catch us off guard with thoughts and things we never expected. Okay, let's just be clear. Life will catch us off guard with thoughts and things we never expected. So this is the purpose of the verse in Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all, guard your heart, because your every response and reaction flows from it. Further, it explained that our heart is the command center of our soul. It impacts our mind, our will, our affections, and the outcomes in our lives. So when you live an unconscious life, meaning you're not conscious of how you're using your I am statements, you're not conscious of the things that you're saying and thinking, when you're living an unconscious life, again, meaning a life where we are not continuously aware of our innate divinity, this places our heart at risk, making it a vulnerable place, because there is so much that happens in our lives that can affect it. Okay? So to get back to 1 Corinthians 15:44, because it may have been confusing when we first read what Paul said, it says, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. Okay, we think about ourselves, we think about ourselves as we are. We think about our personal self first before we think about our spiritual self. So it says the spiritual is not first, but the natural. Actually, in Scripture, John the Baptist, who was a cousin of Jesus, actually represents the natural being born first. And that's why he said, he who comes after me, referring to Jesus or the Christ, is greater than I am. Okay, so the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is from heaven. Okay, now we read that. So the second creation story found in Genesis 2:7 is what Paul was referring to when he said the first man was of the earth. Because it says in Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Okay? Now notice, in the first creation story, there was no mention of a manifest being. There was nothing said about, you know, anything becoming manifest. There was only the divine pattern explained as God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Okay? Because of the word created, we probably had assumed that something became physically visible. But again, the first creation story explained the pattern of life that were in God's mind. Okay? The second creation story is where that pattern became a living, breathing human being. Okay? But as we described in the definition of Adam, let me just emphasize, okay, that, you know, first was the pattern, then the living expression. Same thing in our consciousness. First we think about it, and then we bring it into manifestation. See, it's all the same idea. Okay, but as we described in the definition of Adam, original human was endowed with all the attributes of God, as we are also endowed with all the attributes of God. Okay, but the original human, meaning the original idea of you and me, was in the beginning attuned only to God. Okay, so this original elemental self, what we call the Christ self, the divine self, anything we want to put to it similar to that, it was originally attuned to God. Okay, however, the time we spent living the unconscious life has caused our personality to lose touch with our spirituality. Does that, hope that makes sense, okay? The time we spent living the unconscious life, we weren't thinking about the idea of our divinity continuously, okay? We were in the unconscious life. It caused our personality, you know, to lose touch with our spirituality. The natural self lost touch with the spiritual self. But I do not believe that, I do believe that at this time in the history of humankind, we are on the greatest quest we have ever been on to reconnect with the divinity within ourselves, okay? And those who are choosing to live the conscious life are gaining an inkling, a slight knowledge, a suspicion, a hint of the spiritual essence of our being. You know, we are, as it says in Scripture, we are touching the hem of the garment. We don't have the whole of it yet, but we have, and I think we all are getting a divine essence of it. We're getting an inkling of the fact that we are divine. So the Genesis story establishes the working nature of God mind. The Genesis story establishes the working nature of God mind and simultaneously explains the working nature of our mind, okay? First in mind, the first creation story, then in manifestation, the second creation story, okay? Again, first comes the mental patterns, which is the first creation story, and then comes the physical manifestation of those patterns, which is, again, the second creation story. But again, our not knowing how the laws of creation work in our lives in the past has caused us to haphazardly create, listen to this, mental patterns that eventually became the unwanted events and circumstances in our lives. Because we didn't know. We didn't understand this power. We didn't understand it. Whenever we were thinking anything, whether it was in joy or anger or whatever, that it was being done in this substance, what it was called the dust of the ground. It was being done in that substance, okay? And so, yes, it's true that there are mental processes going on inside of us. We know this. The stuff in our subconscious realm of mind, of which we are not consciously aware, and you know that these mental patterns are also contributing to what eventually led to experiences we would rather not have. Okay, so we know that. We know this is unconscious realm. That again is the reason for the prayer: Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, soul, mind, and body. Reveal in me that which needs to be revealed. That's what we're seeking to bring up. What inside of me that I'm not aware of is causing some of the things that I'm experiencing. Okay. But the book of Genesis is explaining how the stage was set for every good thing to happen in our lives. Okay. It says in the mysteries of Genesis, it says, divine mind, being all good itself, sees only its own creation as good. As we cooperate more fully with divine mind, imaging only that which is good, we too will behold the good we produce in our lives with a single eye, seeing only good. Okay? And yes, that can be challenging in the world that we're living in now. Okay? But it's sort of like just being open to what is the good that is possible and what I am seeing. Okay? So we're always looking for the good, as opposed to getting wrapped up in that which we perceive to be not good. So therein lies our greatest challenge. that being to behold only images of good. And it takes incredible discipline to keep your mind focused on only what is good. Good being, in this case, keeping our minds focused on God the good, omnipotent, as being the only true reality in our lives. And yes, I agree that it takes an incredible amount of faith to keep your mind focused on only that which is good. And there is a temptation to commiserate, to worry, to be fearful, to lose hope and faith. So if we take a Buddhist practice, this is a Buddhist practice, the question to ask ourselves when we're commiserating, worrying, fear, wallowing in negative stuff is, why am I doing this? Okay? And this is what the Buddhist does. He says, why am I doing this? What is the reward I'm getting from this negative thinking? Okay? And once we discover why we worry and lose hope and faith, our prayer is to ask the Holy Spirit to help us let go of that and reconnect. Okay? Remember, the main reason for prayer is to know that God is active in your life and affairs, bringing divine order, peace, harmony, and miraculous healing into your life, regardless of what the appearance or experience might be. Okay? Genesis teaches us that we have concentrated within us all the potential that God is. Whether we strive to realize it and use that potential is a whole nother story. But regardless of what we do or do not do with it, it doesn't change the fact that elementally we are divine. So when we pray, instead of asking God to do something for us, let's learn how to ask God to reveal something to us, to reveal the divinity that God has already given us in the beginning. Okay? And this leads to the last part of this lesson, which is Genesis 2, 1 through 3. It says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. We know this. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Okay? So Charles Fillmore explains, okay, Mysteries of Genesis, he says, the plans of divine mind were finished, although there was as yet no outward manifestation. You get that? The plans of divine mind were finished, although there was not yet no outward manifestation. All is finished first in consciousness. This is for us. All is finished first in consciousness and mind, then rest in faith. After you, in your mind, you come up with what it is you want to unfold or do or whatever in your life. So it happens in mind, and then mind rests in faith from further mental activity. Okay? No worrying about, no wondering what's going to happen. You just rest. This rest precedes manifestation. So the seventh day refers to the mind's realization of fulfillment. It is resting in the assurance that all that has been imagined in it will come forth into expression. Okay, so you can hear how imbued with faith that statement is. Simply after you have done the work in mind, you then mentally rest, knowing that everything in your life is in divine order. You mentally rest in the assurance that when you do step forward, your every step will be divinely guided. Okay. So I'm going to leave you with this affirmation to contemplate. I let good flow into my life experience by opening myself to a greater understanding of God in my life. I am putting my whole trust and confidence in the good of God in my life. This allows me to think with clarity and move and accomplish with ease. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, let us prepare our minds and bodies by breathing in and out. Take some deep breaths in and breathe out slowly. take this moment to quiet your mind. Breathe and feel the living, loving presence of God moving in and through your life at this very moment. Allow the following uplifting affirmations to center your heart and mind. I am the light of the world. God is blessing me now. In this holy instant, all is in divine order in my life. I rest in the presence of God. I am prosperous, whole, and well. I am peaceful, enfolded in grace and wisdom. I am an expression of life and love. My life is filled with possibility. I am willing to let go of old limiting thoughts and embrace a happy life. I am prosperous, I am whole, and I am well. I claim my good in all areas of my life. Money is energy, and it flows in my direction. I breathe in peace, I breathe out and let go of negativity. My relationships are harmonious, and I know there is no waiting for God's love as it is flowing in and through me now and always. I ask that you please join me in the secret place of the Most High. Take this precious opportunity to listen for your guidance and share your concerns at the feet of the Master. Repeating these affirmations often and with intention, and allow your breath and your day to be filled with peace. Know that you are loved and all is well. And so with grateful hearts, in the name of our elder brother and way shower, Jesus the Christ, we do give thanks, and so it is and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back and join your Unity family.
Thank you, honey. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to, embrace all of the good that it comes into our lives. Not only, the material blessings, but the ideas that come to us that help us to realize our own divine nature and, give us guidance as to how to live from that. So in this prosperity prayer, we're being thankful for all the good that comes into our lives. So let's say this together. Divine love through us
blesses and multiplies
all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen. And then this next affirmation is for our spiritual home, our spiritual community. We give thanks for all of the folks who are watching us on Zoom, on YouTube. We know that there are many of you who are spread around the country. And we give thanks for all of the offerings that you send to continue to support Unity Center of Light. So holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now we have light notes.
Yes, thanks. So these are our light notes for today, Sunday, October the 8th. On Sunday, October 22nd, our guest speaker will be the Reverend Galen McDowell. This will be live via Zoom. Reverend McDowell is the Executive Minister, Senior Assistant Minister, and Director of the Johnny Coleman Institute at Christ Universal Temple in Chicago, Illinois. His topic for the 22nd is Creating a New Life Story. Please read your e-newsletters and your updates as there is additional information for you there. The Book Lights Book Club's next read is the Oprah Winfrey book called What I Know for Sure. This book is a compilation of Oprah's essays on joy, resilience, connection, gratitude, possibility, awe, clarity, and power. These essays give us a rare and intimate glimpse into the heart and mind of one of the world's most extraordinary women. The discussion will be held on Zoom, Sunday, November the 12th, from 1 to 3. And on Sunday, October 29th, our guest speaker is Chris Krause, licensed Unity teacher. This is live via Zoom. Chris is currently a ministerial candidate with the Unity Urban Ministerial School and was the spiritual leader for 2 years with Unity in Frederick, Maryland. She's been a prayer chaplain since the early 2000s. Chris sees becoming an ordained minister as the next step in her spiritual evolution. Her talk title is With Friends Like These. Be sure to tune in. And a reminder that the next in-person service is November the 5th. I'm complete. So it's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right, and then our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, we're very thankful for having you with us today. Again, you know, always remember that around the first week, first Sunday of each month, we have an in-person service. But check your e-newsletter and your weekly update, you know, to make sure that we're meeting on that particular day. Other than that, it's been a joy bringing this service to you, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Tomorrow. In person.
All right.
Sunday.
Yeah. Hey, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.